ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 8, Text Number 20. Tata Paramahamsanam Muninam Amalatmanam Bhakti Yoga Vidhanartham Tatam Pashyamahistriya Tata Paramahamsanam Muninam Amalatmanam Bhakti Yoga Vidhanartham Tatam Pashyamahistriya Tata Paramahamsanam Muninam Amalatmanam Bhakti Yoga Vidhanartham Tatam Pashyamahistriya Tata, besides that, Paramahamsanam of the advanced transcendentalists, Muninam of the great philosophers or mental speculators, Amalatmanam, those whose minds are competent to discern between spirit and matter. Bhakti Yoga, the science of devotional service. Vidhana Artham, for executing. Katham, how? Hashema, can observe. He, certainly. Striya, women. Translation? Shila Prabhupada. You yourself descend to propagate the transcendental science of devotional service unto the hearts of the advanced transcendentalists and mental speculators who are purified by being able to discriminate between matter and spirit. How then can we women know you perfectly? Even the greatest philosophical speculators cannot have access to the region of the Lord. It is said in the Upanishads that the Supreme Truth, the Absolute Personality of Godhead, is beyond the range of the thinking power of the greatest philosopher. He is unknowable by great learning or by the greatest brain. He is knowable only by one who has his mercy. Others may go on thinking about him for years together, yet he is unknowable. This very fact is corroborated by the Queen, who is playing the part of an innocent woman. Women in general are unable to speculate like philosophers, but they are blessed by the Lord because they believe at once in the superiority and almightiness of the Lord, and thus they offer obeisances without reservation. The Lord is so kind that he does not show special favor only to one who is a great philosopher. He knows the sincerity of purpose. For this reason only, women generally assemble in great number in any sort of religious function. In every country and in every sect of religion, it appears that the women are more interested than the men. The simplicity of acceptance of the Lord's authority is more effective than showy, insincere religious fervor. Om Agyanat Mirandasya, Agyanat Yashalakaya, Chakshram Ritam Yena Teslai Shri Guruvay Namaha, Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sapitam Yena Bhutale, Svayam Pakadamayam Varati Swaparantikam, Mukam Karoti Vachanam Pangum Nangayate, Girim Nyakripata Maham Vande Shri Gurum Dinatarinam, Vancha Kalpatru Vishya Kripa Singhavya Eva Cha Patitanam Pavanayu Vaishnavya Namo Namaha, Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhar, Shivasari Gaur Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we are in the chapter that's entitled Prayers by Queen Kunti. And earlier on in the Bhagavatam, there's a quote where Srila Prabhupada mentions Queen Kunti as an acharya, or one who teaches by example. So her position is very much exalted. And in this entire pastime of the Pandavas, we see how Krishna glorifies his devotee. So sometimes Krishna puts himself in a precarious situation or in less of a superior situation so that the almightiness or the potency of his bhaktas is made of significant value. So we see this with the pastime of Prahlad Maharaj as well, the potency of being Krishna's sincere devotee and how Krishna blesses that devotee. So there's a class that Prabhupada gave on this verse in Mayapur in 1974, explaining the position of Queen Kunti in relevance to the quality of a Vaishnava, her mood of humility. Because Queen Kunti, as we all know, she is on the same level of Mother Yashoda, and she understands who Krishna is, although Krishna is appearing like his nephew. Nonetheless, Queen Kunti understands that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he's come in the Yadu dynasty to enact his wonderful pastimes, not only to annihilate the demons, as he says in Bhagavad Gita, Parikravanaya Sadunam Vinasya Chaduskritam, that yes, this is there, but the primary reason Krishna appears is to give pleasure to the devotee's senses, and vice versa, the devotee will also give pleasure to Krishna's senses. So Queen Kunti is submissively inquiring or putting inquiries to Krishna that I'm situated in a woman's body. How is it possible for me to actually know you? And Prabhupada, or in the Bhagavad Gita, has explained Sri Sudra Dvija Bandhanam, that the Sudras, the women, and those who are born in Brahminical families but who are not Brahminical, they are classified under less intelligence. So they are put in the same category. So this is not to say that there is no intelligence in these personalities. Prabhupada says less intelligent. So the normal view, of course, in Kali Yuga, the mentality of those in female bodies specifically, as soon as they see this line in Prabhupada's purport, they immediately think oppression, women are less intelligent, we're kept in the back, etc., etc. But one should understand intelligent, actually what this actually means. Less intelligence doesn't mean there's no intelligence or there is no scope for making distinction. Prabhupada would always say, once you come to the platform of Krishna consciousness, then you become the most intelligent personality, the most fortunate person. And as Bhagavatam says, in this age of Kali, we all have no qualification. We are all born Shudra. Socially, yes, there is a distinction. There's men, there's women, there's different varnas, there's different ashrams, like that. But Kunti Devi here, she's not presenting her humility because she's identifying with her body. She's expressing her humility because she's a Vaishnava, and that is one of the topmost qualities. This is the quality that actually captures Krishna. When you have everything, but still you see yourself as insignificant. In the life of all the acharyas, actually this mood or this understanding is quite a prevalent factor in their life. So Srila Krishna Das, Kaviraj Goswami, the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, Srila Prabhupada himself would often say that, you know, everything that he's doing is by the mercy of his guru, by the mercy of his disciples, that this movement is going on. So although Prabhupada was the pioneering force, or Prabhupada was the catalyst in getting the mission of Lord Chaitanya to the Western-speaking countries, he'd always give credit to others, never taking anything from himself. So this humility, this acceptance that Krishna is the supreme control and Krishna is the doer is very important in the life of a Vaishnava. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is a verse that says, Krishna ye bhaje se bhara chatura. That one who takes true devotional service of Krishna consciousness, he is intelligent. Whether he be Stri, whether he be Shudra, or whether he be a Dvija Bandhu, he becomes most intelligent because he has taken to the process of devotional service. So this is Lord Chaitanya's teachings. It is very important because we are following in the line of Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya was the perfect devotee, so he is teaching us how to practically apply the principles of bhakti. And Prabhupada says, if we just focus on performing our duties very nicely, it doesn't matter in which house or in which ashram we're situated under. If we're executing our Krishna consciousness very nicely, we become the most fortunate persons because we become blessed by Krishna. We become a receptacle for Krishna's mercy. And any advancement that one makes in devotional service, majority of it, of course, we have our endeavor, but majority of it goes to the Vaishnavas and Krishna's mercy. So in other yoga systems, of course, everyone is pretty much on their own strength, the karma yogis, the jnana yogis, but in the process of devotional service, we depend on Krishna. And this quality of dependence on Krishna stirs us away from the biggest illusion of thinking that we are the doer or we are the controller of our activities. It takes us away from thinking that we can control the material energy, we can control material nature. But once one thinks like that, actually we get into the biggest illusion. You can't discern between what is spirit and what is matter. And we see in the society, well, in the world out there where we're living, people strive on being into this I and mine mentality. It is because of my strength, my muscles, my brain, my beauty, my renunciation, but all in minute quantities. And eventually, Krishna in the form of time takes it all away. But the safety net or the consolidating factor of having Krishna as the supreme proprietor, the controller, the maintainer, gives us a sense of security, actually. But if we were to seriously think that we are in control of everything, if we were to seriously think that we are in control of our body, our life, etc., how much would we trust ourselves? How much has our body and our mind and our intelligence failed us? Whether we were kids or we're going through our youth, teenagers, young adults, we've been subject to uncontrollable mind and senses. And that has put us in precarious situations. These days you don't even have to wait till nighttime to see what uncontrolled sense activity means. Just any time during the day you can see what uncontrolled senses are. Sometimes in us practicing and sometimes in those around us. Just a few weeks ago when Krishna Loka Mataji was here, she was saying how she saw a billboard somewhere in South Melbourne, and I saw it the other day and I was shocked. It was saying that, you know, you had this ad, have a break, have a Kit Kat. If you used to eat chocolate and stuff like that, this was the line, you know, Nike has Just Do It, and you have have a Kit Kat. And this billboard, it wasn't that big actually, but it was visible enough. It said, have a sex break. Right, so this is the picture, of course, using the opposite sex to tell people if you're tired, if you're frustrated, if you want to relax, have a sex break. And this is the epitome of a lack of sense control. It's kind of, okay, child, have a drink of water. No, I just have a sex break. And this is what society has turned into, the so-called civilized society in Australia. Mind you, this is not only happening in Australia, but it's happening everywhere. So this is how the consciousness in Kali Yuga has shrunk so much that people see that as normal. Now, what type of parent would allow their child to constantly have that vision? You know, if we ask maybe our grandparents or our parents, they'd be shocked at some of the things that are visible to us now, things that are made very easily available over google.com, ask.com, whatever you want to know, just type it in, whatever you want to see, visual stimulation, it's already there. So we think this is the height of human civilization, but it's actually the most degraded age. So when Kunti Maharani asked these questions, how can we understand you? We have to look and see where we're at. We're in Kali Yuga. And really, our humility should be put in a circumstance where we actually understand that there's actually no good qualities in Kali Yuga. That we're actually, Kali Yuga is such a fallen condition. We are actually, you know, to be put in Kali Yuga is just like, oh my God. Kali Yuga is not great. That is an illusion to think that this world is beautiful. I mean, it is beautiful because we are able to see Krishna. I am the, you know, the fragrance of the earth. I'm the sun, I'm the taste in water. A devotee, someone who sees through Shastra, can understand this fact. But the 99% of the people living on this planet cannot understand that. Therefore, they're in a very unfortunate situation. Therefore, each time if we think we're becoming proud or we think we got it good, we should understand where we're coming from. We are Kali Yuga creatures. And the only good thing in this age is Golokera Premadan Harinam Sankirtan. That the holy name of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is coming from Goloka. It's giving prema, pure love of God. This is the only good thing in Kali Yuga. Everything else, material energy, Durga Devi, it is her business to make things tough. Prabhupada was mentioning when he was giving lecture on this verse, he was saying, the material world, it is an ocean of suffering. The suffering is so deep, like an ocean is so deep, we keep getting shocked as to how much suffering there is in this world. So this is material, this is the ocean of material existence. And Krishna, what does Krishna say? How do you come out of this, you know, turmoil? Because for some time we're on this boat. Shastra explains that the material body is like a boat, and we're in this material world, the ocean of material suffering. So we're going there, and there's tumultuous winds, rain, so many things are going on. It's not always a smooth ride. So we get tossed here and there. And how does Krishna say we can get out of this? Maya metam tarantite. The way to get out of this powerful energy of Krishna, his daivi prakriti, his powerful material energy, is to surrender unto him. Whether you be Sri, Sudra, Vaishya, whatever you are, you surrender to Krishna. Whether you have material desires, you have no desires, you're desireless, you surrender to Krishna and perform devotional service. That is the only way you can actually survive in this world. The material world is actually, it is no place for a gentleman or a gentle lady. Sometimes people say survival of the fittest. No one can survive in this material world. There's no one fit to fight Maya without Krishna. So if at any time anyone ever thinks that, you know, I can battle with Krishna, I'm going to get my gloves out and start punching material energy. Rajas and Tamagun, I'll fight Sattvagun too. By myself, by my own strength and mind, I'm going to do it. It is an illusion. we are so dependent on Krishna. Even to forget Krishna, we need his energy. To forget Krishna, we need Krishna to say, okay, Krishna, just throw some maya. Just throw us into ignorance. It is your energy. You're the one who activates it. You're the one who with time takes everything away. And this is Krishna. This is how dependent we are on Krishna. Even to forget is a very embarrassing situation, actually. Living in the material world, you can't do nothing by yourself. The body, this body that we're given by material nature, we are cast into a womb of a particular mother, and to survive those conditions, you know, you have to be empowered by Krishna to survive that. To survive in this world, you have to be empowered by Krishna, either by the external energy or by his internal potency. People who are drowning in the external energy in Rajagun, Tamagun, they need that energy to be in forgetfulness because they cannot handle it. People cannot actually handle being in the material world. Therefore, we need intoxication. We need sex, drugs, alcohol. We need it. Otherwise, it's just the reality is just so in your face that you can't handle it. Therefore, you need intoxication to forget. And this is what people are doing. They need to forget the horrible situation of Kali Yuga. It's like a float. You know, I went to Bendigo the other day, and there's all these different floats of terrible things. It looked like the this show, it just looked terrible. There's this one float that had uncontrolled people on it, intoxicated, and basically they were attracted to the mode of ignorance. You can see in what they were wearing and in what they had on their faces. And I was thinking, you know, the material existence is just like a parade. One float promises you this, and then it passes. You try and enjoy it, then it sucks. Then there's another float that comes. It's the police, it's the whatnot, the bang, bang, bang. It goes, enjoy, and then it passes. Oh, it's boring now. And then here comes another float. And then you try the same thing again. You try to enjoy, oh, this is it. This is it. You know, this is Eminem. Or this is Madonna. Or this is Shah Rukh Khan, or I don't know, Kaim, whatever it is, whatever our sense enjoyment is. We're thinking, now I've got it. And then the float comes and goes. So this is the type of mentality we have. This is the type of consciousness. Although it's been happening since time immemorial, we're still hoping that one day this temporary thing is going to stop and this pleasure is going to be there forever, although this item is deteriorating. It's like looking at, let's say, you know, sometimes you have, you know, even tables, anything made from wood, over time things deteriorate. Matter is going, you know, there's a sixth body chain, the sattvikaras that happens through the body. Anything that's temporary goes through these six changes. So when we're materially afflicted by the females of material nature, we're thinking that this temporary thing, one day, one moment, it is going to stay. This is what we've been thinking since time immemorial. This is why we keep going on and hoping and thinking that this is actually going to make me happy. Although it's making us miserable. We're hoping, this is how deluded we are in Kali Yuga, we're hoping that this suffering is going to miraculously turn into happiness. Magically it's going to turn into happiness. So Kunti Maharani is praying, how is it possible for us, less intelligent people in Kali Yuga, to understand you? Knowing what our mentality is. This is the mentality of anyone in Kali Yuga. That's why it says in Kali Yuga, everyone is born Shudra. We just have no intelligence. We can't see reality, even if it's dancing in front of us, which most of the time it is. But we can't see. So Kunti Maharani, she's petitioning Krishna, Krishna, how can we less intelligent personalities see you? How can we talk with you? How can we walk with you? How can we sit with you? How can we bathe in your association? Because it says, you know, there is a qualification to seeing Krishna. Only the Paramahamsas can see Krishna. Param, absolute, supreme, Hamsa, Swan. There's actually different classifications of swans. And Prabhupada always, even in the pictures in the Bhagavatam, is always the white swan, Hamsa avatar. So the qualification is that one must become a Paramahamsa. What is that special feature of a Paramahamsa? He is able to extract and understand the difference between matter and spirit. And it's happening to us. He's able to understand what this body is. It is gross. It is subtle. But there's spirit which is driving it. And we can see that. Dehi no smin yata dehe. Komaram yovanam. You know, it's like you're young. The body is changing all the time. Now, Paramahamsa can understand this. Oh, that's the body. But the soul is in there. It's not changing. So this is the Paramahamsa. The Muni now, the thoughtful person, people who are thinking, what is the goal of life? Atato Brahma Jigyasa. Now therefore inquire into Brahman. So it's a double whammy. Now, therefore. Like you have to do it. Otherwise you'll be stuck in this ocean of material suffering. And Amalatmanam. Mala means sinful. Amalatmanam, we shouldn't have any sinful activity. And what is the sinful activity? Prabhupada says it is two brothers, lust and greed. These are sinful activities. So anyone who has lust and greed is not qualified to understand Krishna or associate with Krishna. You have to be pure in thought, you have to be pure in action in accordance with Krishna's instructions. So, when Kunti Maharani says Tata Parahamsanam, says ultimately, you know, Krishna is meant for the pure-hearted. And what does being in the material world mean? What does Durga Devi mean? Durga Ma means that she does not allow anyone who is impure to actually access Krishna. And Prabhupada says, you know, Maya will test you. She has to test you. Prabhupada was repeating this over and over again. Where have we ever seen a peaceful ocean in this world? Has anyone ever seen a peaceful ocean? Just nice waves. Yeah, maybe Albert over here is quite peaceful. But in general, an ocean, what happens? The deeper you go, it's just so much turmoil. Living entities, yeah, like blinking pirates coming on, and people dumping stuff in the ocean. People doing so many things, having parties, you know, the ships, the docks, everything is just chaotic. An ocean is not always lovey-dovey. So where have we, you know, there will be turmoil. Material, being in the material world means there will be ups and downs. The waves will come and they will knock you over. But the thing is, you have to stay on the boat. And Prabhupada said, how do you remain clean? How do you remain away or uncontaminated by sinful activity? Prabhupada says, simply you follow the four regulative principles and chant Hare Krishna. Failure to do so means you go into Maya. There's no in-between. Like Karunani Krishna, who was mentioning on Sunday, said, you're either Devic or Asuric. You're either following Krishna's orders, or you're not. You have some people who like to be in-betweeners, but you either follow Krishna or you don't. If you're not following Krishna, your mentality is asuric. As he was saying, it doesn't mean that you have horns poking out of your forehead or your backside. It means you're not accepting Krishna's authority. You're not accepting that Krishna is supreme. You're lusting over Krishna's potency of being the most beautiful, the most wealthy, the most opulent. That is also lust. Lust doesn't only pertain to attraction to the opposite sex. Lust means you want it for yourself separately from Krishna. So this is a great danger. So dirty things in the heart have to be removed. This lust and greed, they have to be removed so that we can actually get the qualification to associate with Krishna. So Kunti Maharani in this chapter, she is proclaiming over and over again that Krishna is only meant for the Paramahamsas. Krishna is meant for these pure-like personalities. So they have that qualification because they've gone through a purifying process. Just as the high court judge, he goes through the qualification by going through his study. If you're studying law, if you're studying medicine, you do your years, you follow a scientific process. So the process of sadhana bhakti, kind of similar, it is a science. So we go through this process and we get purified. But our meditation should be that the purification leads to purity. Purification does not lead to pain and suffering. Purification means you're getting pure. So sometimes we might even say, you know, oh, it's too much purification, I don't want to get purified. So in a way it's like, I don't want to get closer to Krishna. Because this pain is, you know, when something really works, you know, it will be painful. When you're removing a stain from an item, you got to rub it hard. If you're polishing paraphernalia, what do? You don't just kind of rub it like that. You put your elbow grease in. It's hard work. So we have to work hard if we want to attain this pure transcendental position of being Krishna's property. And we're already our Krishna's property, but right now we're fighting against it. And Krishna is very much favorably disposed towards his devotee. Krishna is Bhakta Vatsala. You know, he's not Jnana Vatsala or Karma Vatsala. Specifically Bhakta Vatsala. Krishna does things that he reciprocates in ways that he doesn't reciprocate with jnanis or karma yogis or karma kandis. So Krishna puts himself in a service mood towards his devotee just to glorify his devotee. And because we have similar qualities with Krishna, we find here that Kunti Devi, she's also putting herself in a lower position. Now she's actually preaching, this is what a Vaishnava is like. A Vaishnava is humble. A Vaishnava does not demand respect, but he commands respect from their character. You know, a person can be very rich, a person can be very poor, but our attraction for a person actually is not really something that they've attained, but it's actually their character. And when you have a friend, you know, they're like joking or they're really serious, they take, you know, they help you out. It's the character of the devotee that's attractive. Not the externals. So a Vaishnava has pure character. And that purity, you know, that bhakti shakti is coming from Krishna. And Krishna exposes it even more with his devotee to make that point. And the devotee is so humble that the devotee glorifies Krishna. Krishna glorifies the devotee. The devotee glorifies Krishna. And it's never ending. So this is a position of a Vaishnava. With the process of karma and jnana, no one can actually succeed in driving away material contamination from the heart. On the surface, yes, sometimes people can get away with, you know, being sattva-gun-like. Sometimes people look like they're very much in the mode of goodness, jnanis, etc. But the real contamination in the heart is not removed. Only Bhakti Yoga can do that. As Krishna personally removes it so that he can sit in the heart. Just like in the birth of Krishna, the first six kids and then Lord Balaram appeared and then Krishna appeared. So Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that lust, anger, greed, envy, madness, illusion, those are the six children in the heart. They had to be removed, killed, so that Balaram could come, and then Krishna comes. So the heart has to be completely pure for pure bhakti. Anya bilasita sunyam. Nothing else but pure devotion. So karma and jnana doesn't offer that. Superficially it might look like it, but only bhakti purifies the heart and removes the contamination of lust and greed, which is why we're here in this material world. So we have to follow the path of bhakti yoga as it's been enunciated by Krishna and his pure devotee. So the Bhagavatam is Krishna's pastime with his pure devotees, because they're just showing us how to relate with Krishna, how to serve Krishna, how to glorify Krishna, how to talk with Krishna. If we don't know how to do it, then we read Bhagavatam, we'll figure out how to do it. We see Vrindavan through the eyes of the pure devotees. Vidura, Narada Muni, the gopis of Vrindavan. This is how we see Vrindavan. We see it through their eyes. And we hear it and then we see it. So we can see Krishna through the pure devotee. So service to the Vaishnava is very exalted, and that grabs and captures Krishna's attention. So Kunti Maharani, her prayers are very important. Hence Prabhupada has the teachings of Queen Kunti, and she's teaching us how to understand really the position of Krishna and our position in relationship to Krishna. That we are eternally Krishna's servant, Krishna's humble servant. And I'll stop there and ask if there's any comments or questions. Yes,
Maharaj. I heard one comment and one question. The comment is, Prabhupada gives such nice elaborate purports. I was reading last night in 6th canto, 5th chapter, how Naraji has made those 10,000 sons of Daksha completely spiritual, and then he got another set of 1,000 boys. So that's the way how a pure devotee, and he has taken so much of risk that he was cursed by Daksha. So this is the purity of, as you said, in your
He was cursed by Daksha not to have a home. Like, sure, no problem. I'll travel and preach. This is how a devotee sees a curse. They just take it and transform it into pure Krishna conscious activity. Whereas some personalities, Prabhupada mentions, some personalities will distribute their curse.
Therefore, we have to stay on the boat of Srila Prabhupada, the ISKCON boat.
Yeah. So Prabhupada said, just stay, don't leave.
Now my question is, why Kunti Maharani is saying, can we women know you perfectly? So what is the difference between the two, man and women? Why is she discriminating? Women know you perfectly.
Because generally, as Prabhupada says, women are not as intelligent, or they're not so much prone to mental speculation. Prabhupada mentioned that they're very, you say one, you know, very, very submissive. So they're not highly, highly intellectually disposed. This is why she's saying, how can we, you know, we're just women, we're not really highly advanced intellectually. Whereas men, comparatively, generally, men are more intellectually inclined. Whereas women as a nature are not. So we have a very interesting DNA structure. Men have an interesting DNA structure, gross and subtle. And men are more prone to acting a certain way, and women are more prone to acting a certain way, generally speaking.
Or is it because women are more emotional?
Yes, women are more hearty.
They are more devotees. They are stronger devotees than men are.
At the end of the day, we are all servants of Krishna. That should be our focus. disturbing Krishna.
Do you want to tell us something about the identity of Vrindavan Das Thakur?
Oh, Krishna. I won't speculate. Sarvamanda Vyasa-san, I cannot speculate. There will be an email, go to Pemho or Planet ISKCON. There will be pastimes of Vrindavan Das Thakur. I don't want to speak any nonsense.
You can just tell a few lines.
Not even. Sorry, no speculation. Okay, thank you very much. Thank you very much. Thank you.